This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. After a three-day trip to the Middle East that included stops in Israel, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken left for home Wednesday without any news of a ceasefire agreement that would free hostages and bring a pause to nearly 7 months of war in Gaza. Blinken met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli officials Wednesday. Netanyahu insisted that Israel must invade the southern city of Rafah to fight the last four battalions of Hamas there and locate the leader of Hamas in Gaza. But as Blinken told reporters before departing Israel, the U.S. has made it clear it opposed a Rafah military operation unless Israel can guarantee safety for more than 1 million civilians sheltering there.
At the same time, there are other ways, and in our judgment, better ways, of dealing with the real ongoing challenge of Hamas that does not involve or require a major military operation in Rafah. We've been talking to the Israelis about that. We'll continue those conversations.
As campus protests against the war in Gaza have escalated across the United States, U.S. President Joe Biden has stayed quiet on the issue. Associated Press Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
His last public comment about the protests was 10 days ago. Since then, the tensions have grown. GOP challenger Donald Trump says the president must do something. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he could start by condemning the protesters. But apart from condemning anti-Semitism, the White House has largely stayed out of it.
Americans have the right to peacefully protest.
While spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre says some demonstrations have crossed the line.
Forcibly taking over a building is not peaceful.
She's repeatedly deflected questions about whether police should have been called in and if schools should discipline the protesters. Sagar Magani, Washington.
For more on this and all the stories we're covering, see our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. Local elections are underway in Britain. AP correspondent Karen Chamas reports on what's at stake in this vote ahead of the looming general election later this year.
Millions of voters in England and Wales are going to the polls for local elections. It's the last big test before an upcoming general election in which the ruling Conservatives are expected to be booted from power after 14 years. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is hoping for some wins in the local race to stop talk of a new Conservative Party leader ahead of the main elections, which could take place soon. However, opposition Labour Party leader Keir Starmer hopes the local election results will reflect what opinion polls have shown for 2 years, that Labour is on course for power for the first time since 2010. Karen Chamas, London.
Swiss President Viola Amherd Thursday announced a summit designed to begin a peace process for Ukraine will be held June 15th at Switzerland's Bergenstock Resort. Swiss officials said more than 160 delegates from around the world have been invited to the summit, including the U.S. and China. When the summit was first announced last month, Swiss Foreign Minister Ignacio Cassis insisted Russia had been invited to participate, but had refused. Russian President Vladimir Putin later insisted they were not invited and dismissed the summit as a U.S.-orchestrated plot. Families in Kenya continue to search for loved ones still missing after devastating floods swept through the central part of the nation this week. Reuters correspondent Olivia Chan reports.
The Kenyan Red Cross said two more bodies were pulled out from the debris. Across Kenya, floods and landslides have killed more than 180 people and forced hundreds of thousands from their homes since March, the government and the Red Cross said on Wednesday. President William Ruto has deployed soldiers to aid search efforts in Maimahiu. Dozens more have been killed by heavy downpours in Tanzania and Burundi. Scientists say climate change is causing more intense and frequent extreme weather events.
That's Olivia Chan reporting. The J. Paul Getty Museum in California is in a fight with Italy over a statue entitled Victorious Youth, a life-size bronze dating back as far as 100 BC. AP correspondent Donna Warder reports.
Italy says Victorious Youth is an important part of its cultural heritage, and it wants it back. An Italian court had ordered the statue seized in 2010, but the Getty has long defended its right to Victorious Youth, saying Italy has had no legal claim to it because it's Greek and was found in international waters. The artist of the piece is unknown, but some scholars believe it was made by Lysippus, Alexander the Great's personal sculptor. The Getty bought the statue in 1977 for $4 million. Now a European court has upheld Italy's right to seize it, and both sides have 3 months to ask that the case be heard by the court's grand chamber for a final ruling. I'm Donna Warder.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.